again for your goodness, your love. Thank you, Lord, for this congregation as we're gathered together here, Lord. We're looking to hear from you. We ask, Lord, that you would give Dana wisdom. Lord, give him a hearing ear to hear from you as he continues, Lord, to share. We pray, Lord, that we would receive and, Lord, that we would give of ourselves as we hear. I pray that our desire would be to know you. Our desire would be to honor and glorify your name. We just want to bless you this morning. We pray for those that aren't here this morning. We think, Lord, of those at Bible school. We ask, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would guide them in their studies. Give them wisdom. Give them minds that can remember and be able, Lord, to learn what you want of them. We think of Jen as she serves in North Carolina. We pray your blessing on her, Father. Just care for her. Give her strength as she finishes up there. Care for her. And for the many others, Lord, that maybe aren't here because of sickness, we pray, Lord, that you would give them direction and guidance and healing today, too. We bless you and we give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Greetings this morning in Jesus' name. Continuing my series, our series in Just the Basics, our study of the Sermon on the Mount, I'm calling it Just the Basics because at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, turn to Matthew 7. If you turn to Matthew 7 while I'm speaking, that will give you some time to get there. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us that to hear and do these things will make us as a man who built his house on a rock. And when you build on something, that is your foundation. To hear and not do them will be like building on sand and will set us up for a great fall. Yesterday, I was in my office and I'd been in there for a while and it was a beautiful sunshiny day. And I don't know how many of you feel sorry for preachers on Saturday afternoon, but you should. I decided I'm going to go for a walk. And I went out, and there was a message I was wanting to listen to, so I put my little Bluetooth earbud thing in, and I started walking. And I am blessed to live where I have room to walk. So I was walking down the to the west, and I don't want to say or even hint that this happened to give me an opportunity to put my message into practice, but I was presented an opportunity to put my message into practice. So I'm going to get to that a little later. But Matthew 7, and this is where Jesus gives his warning at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So seeing that our response to these teachings of Christ determines what our house is built upon, they are foundational to our lives. So I'm calling them the basics. The reason for saying just the basics is that we often think of mentally receiving Christ or asking Jesus into our heart as being the basic thing, and then all these things he tells us to do and to be, we might think of being as something for a mature or extra spiritual Christian. Maybe something I should desire to do someday, but it's not real urgent. But Christ is saying, this is what it means to receive me. This is what it means to ask me into your heart. It means to do things his way. If Jesus is in my heart, he is now calling the shots. I view myself differently. I view God and his word and his right to do with me as he pleases differently. It means to hear and do. These aren't some special optional instructions for, maybe there's these radical Christians that do this, or maybe someone trying to get extra points on their exam, or they're for all of us. These are for all of us. They are just the basics. If we intentionally ignore any of them, we invite God's wrath and destruction into our lives. So I'd like to ask you to stand, turn to Matthew 5. I'd like to ask you to stand if it's not difficult for you to stand, and let's read together. I'll read verse 1 and 2, and then you can read 3 through 12 with me. We've been reading 3 through 10, but at verse 10, 11 and 12 are kind of a further explanation of verse 10. So let's just read all of them this morning. So I'm going to read 1 and 2, and then you read, help me read, 3 through 12. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Thank you. You may be seated. So our focus this morning is verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And my title today is just simply, Blessed are the merciful. So, don't answer this out loud, but think in your mind, what do you think of? He says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What does mercy mean? What does it mean to be merciful? What does it mean to obtain mercy? Just think about that a little bit. And kind of, I'll tell you what I've heard. I remember hearing this when I was very young, probably in Sunday school. I don't know. I'm not sure where. But I remember hearing the definition of mercy and grace as being mercy is not getting what you deserve. So you deserve to be punished. We deserve God's wrath. And in his mercy, he does not punish us. That's mercy. And then grace is getting what you don't deserve. We deserve death. We deserve hell. We deserve being totally annihilated. And God gives us relationship with him and heaven. That's grace. Now, I think both of those definitions are okay. Neither one of them are wrong. But if you turn to Luke chapter 10, do that. Turn to Luke chapter 10. I'm going to ask you to turn with me a few times here this morning. Luke chapter 10. And while you're turning, I'll just put in a plug here for parents. I would really encourage you to encourage your children to bring their Bibles. I just think some real value in a child taking and turning and learning along with us and seeing these verses for themselves. So Luke 10, 36 and 37, in the verses leading up to this, Jesus has told about the Samaritan who was on the road to Jericho. And there was a traveler first, and the traveler was attacked and robbed and left bleeding and almost for dead. And a priest came through and walked on the other side. And they had asked him, who is my neighbor? And so the priest came through and walked around him, looked at him. I don't know what his feelings were, what his thoughts were. Did he feel sorry for him? Was he disgusted by him? I don't know. But he kept going. He was busy. We know that, or probably. Then here comes the Levite, and he sees him, and he goes around him, and he passes by on the other side of the road. And the Samaritan came and saw the man. He picked him up, put him on his donkey, took him to the inn, and said, well, he bandaged him up first. Then he took him to the inn. He said, take care of this man. Here's some money. I'll be back in a few days. If he owes you more, I'll pay that too. Take care of him. And then Jesus says in verse 36, which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. This wasn't the man withholding the just punishment. That's the definition I gave of mercy to start with. And that is one definition of mercy. But the way Jesus used it here and the way it's often used is more accurate to say compassionate. In fact, if you look at the word up in the Strong's, this blessed are the merciful. Merciful is simply compassionate, but in parentheses it says actively. Actively compassionate. Not just feeling a feeling, but doing something to help him in that situation. You know, he could have had 1,000 people standing around saying, oh, we feel so sorry for you. This is terrible. We can't believe this happened. That's not going to do him any good. The man that was willing, he probably got blood on his hands. He probably got body fluids, whatever. He was a mess. It wasn't a pleasant thing to help this man. And he did it. And then the next part there in verse 7, for they shall obtain mercy. The shall obtain mercy is all one word. And that's basically the same thing from the same word. But it's to compassionate. So it's an active phrase. It would be by word or deed, especially by divine grace. So God giving me the ability to be compassionate. So, what I want us to see today is that being merciful is much more than just withholding judgment. That's part of it. That person that owes you money and can't pay, and you don't demand it immediately, there's mercy there. That's part of it. But merciful is being compassionate and getting involved when someone is hurting. That's mercy. So, let's ask ourselves, am I compassionate? What opportunities am I missing? Yesterday, I started to tell you I was on a walk. And again, I don't believe that God made this happen. He might have, because the story's not done. And I don't want to, this is not at all to blow my own horn. But I was walking, and Gina was in town in Three Rivers. And to the west of us, there was a column of smoke. And last Saturday they had burned a big, we call it the Duck Club, a big marshy cattail swamp that's off to the southwest of us. And Gina saw the smoke and she texted me. She said, are they burning more of the Duck Club? And I said, I don't know. But to me, I thought it was too far north for that. So on her way home, she turned and went down Sevison Road. And there was a house trailer on fire, fully engulfed. And she sent me a picture of it. And as I'm taking this information in, I've also been listening to a message on mercy and how mercy is helping those that are hurting. And, well, it's just very clear. I needed to do something. So, it was a couple hours later. I had a run to make, so I went kind of the long way around. I went down there. And this was, like I said, several hours later, so the firemen were all gone. Everything was done. It was just sitting there with yellow tape around it, and the car parked in the driveway. And I pulled in, and the man was sitting in the car. He got out, and his name is Rick. He came over, and we talked. And he wanted to show me the damage, and we walked around, and it wasn't much, honestly. It was a dump. And he said it. He said, when he got it, he was buying it on a land contract from another man. And the people that had it before had just gutted the trailer. And it's a single wide trailer, so it's not worth a lot to start with. But they had taken out walls and where the bathtub was supposed to be, they had put something else. They had torn the tub out. It was just a mess. And he said, I've been here for, I don't know, a couple of years. He said, I've been trying to fix things up, and it's gone. And he would kind of laugh and then almost cry back and forth, very emotional. He said, you got to laugh. What else can you do? But the longer we talked, the more open he became. And we talked about, well, just about loss and whatever. And I did not share the Lord with him per se. But I did share compassion. I gave him a little bit of money. And then when I left, I called Gina, and she took a bag of groceries down and so on. But anyways, in that conversation, he said, I got to figure out how to, he said, I don't know how to do anything. I don't know where to go. And I said, well, I know a guy that knows how to move mobile homes. I gave him Marcus's phone number. And I also told him, I kind of put you all on the spot a little bit. I said, I am part of a wonderful church that when you're ready, we will come and we'll help you. If you have a plan, we can come. I said, I have a skid steer. I have equipment, trailer, whatever. We'll haul stuff out. We'll cut it up. We'll help you scrap it, whatever. And for him to know that somebody was willing to get in the mess with him made a big difference. There were tears. There was a neighbor that pulled in, and he came up, and he said, you know, he said, 3 years ago, this was me 2 days after Christmas. And they both started crying. And these, if language is any indication, are very ungodly men. But there's something that's touched deep down inside of us when somebody knows what it's like to be where we're at. And I've not dealt with a fire. I've been involved, Carl's with their fire. I've been involved with that. I've never had that kind of loss myself. But I say all that to say, you probably will have opportunity to get involved if and when you want to. I gave him my information, and he said he will definitely be calling us. So we'll see how that all goes. His name is Rick. I'd appreciate if you pray for him. I forget his last name. I know he told me, but I forget what it is. Psalm 41:1 says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Turn to Hebrews 6. Hebrews chapter 6. The first few verses here in Hebrews speaks of sinning willfully. After that, we received the knowledge of the truth, and there remaineth, if we sin willfully, and I really believe the picture there, it's not the idea that today I look back and say, you know what I did yesterday, that was sin, and I knew better and did it anyways. That was willful sin, therefore there's no more sacrifice for me. That's not what he's saying. He's saying when I look at sin and I say, I know I'm sinning and I'm okay with that, I'm just going to trust God's grace to cover it. That's when there is no more sacrifice for sin. Grace is not intended for and does not cover that kind of sin. But in verse 9, Hebrews 6 verse 9, he says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. I don't believe you are that, and that's how I feel about you. I was able to tell him that I'm part of a group that helps people, and I trust that that can be, on the other hand, I will say, I think this is something we've maybe lost our edge on just a little bit. It's really easy to pull out my wallet, give him some cash, good luck, buddy, and I'm on my way. Because I have more cash. I can get more cash. And it's quick. I can be there in and out in 2 minutes. And I guess let's just be careful that we're not too busy. I wonder if we could talk to the priest and the Levite that went by the Samaritan. The traveler that was lying there. I wonder if busyness, how much, I doubt it was simply just the fact I don't want to get dirty. There may have been some of that. I don't want to be contaminated. I don't want, you know, all of that. But I wonder how much of it was just, you know what, I have things I need to do. I'd love to help you, buddy, but I'm busy. Let's be careful. Let's be careful. How available are we for each other and for those around us? But beloved, we are, Hebrews 6 verse 9, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God sees and appreciates when you minister to others in his name. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. I came across an article that I'd like to read. It said, author unknown for most of what I'm going to read, so I'm not going to credit it to anybody, but just think, how do I, ask yourself, how do you tend to look at other people's plight, other people's bad luck, if you want to call it? Sympathy looks in, okay, back, just to make sure we remember, mercy, the way it's used here, is being compassionate. Sympathy looks in and says, I'm sorry. Compassion goes in and says, I'm with you. Sympathy looks in and says, I would like to help. Compassion goes in and says, I am here to help. Sympathy says, I wish I could carry your burden. Compassion says, cast your burden on me. Sympathy often irritates with many words. Compassion helps and hears in quietness and understanding. Empathy refers to feeling. Okay, there's empathy, sympathy, and compassion. Empathy refers to feeling what another person is feeling. Sympathy, so empathy, my wife and I, we've lost twins. So the other day, when Dave High called and wanted more fence, a guy I did work 4 years ago, soon after I had done fence for him, I heard that his son got run over by a skid steer. So when he called the other day and we talked, I could empathize with him. I knew a little bit what I've been there. So that's empathy. Carls are going to be able to relate to Rick because of their house fire better than I can. That's empathy. Empathy refers to feeling what another person is feeling. Sympathy means you understand what the person is feeling even without feeling it yourself. You care about what they're feeling, even though you've never felt that exact feeling. Compassion means your feelings have prompted you to take action to relieve the suffering of another person. I not only feel sorry for you, I'm willing to put myself out, I'm willing to inconvenience myself in order to alleviate your suffering. A young man named Mark was walking home from school one day when he noticed that a boy ahead of him had tripped and dropped all the books he was carrying, along with two sweaters, a baseball bat, a glove, and a small tape recorder. Mark knelt and helped the boy pick up the scattered articles. Since they were going the same way, he helped the boy carry part of the burden. As they walked, he found out the boy's name was Bill, that he loved video games, baseball, history, and that he was having lots of trouble with his other subjects. They arrived at Bill's home first, and Mark was invited in for a Coke. The afternoon passed pleasantly with a few laughs and some shared small talk. Then Mark went home. They continued to see each other around school, had lunch together once in a while, then both graduated from junior high school. They ended up in the same high school where they had brief contacts over the years. Finally, the long-awaited senior year came, and 3 weeks before graduation, Bill asked Mark if they could talk. Bill reminded him of the day years ago when they had first met. "Did you ever wonder why I was carrying so many things home that day?" asked Bill. "I cleaned out my locker because I didn't want to leave a mess for anyone else. I had stored away some of my mother's sleeping pills and I was going home to commit suicide. But after we spent some time together talking and laughing, I realized I didn't want to die. I'm trying to say, Mark, you did a lot more than just pick up those books that day. You saved my life." Compassion is something you can develop with practice. It involves two things, intention and action. Intention is simply opening your heart to others, and action is what you do about it. 1 John 3:16-18 says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Twice in the book of Matthew, Christ refers to Hosea 6:6, where it says, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." There's much emphasis today on praise and worship, which is not a bad thing. We know the Lord inhabits the praise of His people. We sing the song, and it's a psalm. "We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord." But God says He'd rather have mercy than sacrifice. Now, He wants both. He wants mercy and sacrifice. But we can't start with worship and praise until we've embraced being merciful. Getting involved in the needs and hurts around us. I've already presented you with an opportunity yet, but Lord willing, I'll be sharing, if Rick calls, sharing with you an opportunity. But all of us, I believe all of us have opportunity. It can be as simple as picking up the books for the boy that drops them. You never know when you're going to save a life. As I read that article last night, I had to wonder, and I am not saying this in any way to bring glory to myself. But where is Rick? Was he ready to just end it all? Did we give him just a little shot of hope? What can we do for the needs around us? And I know for myself, and I think this is important. I'm not downplaying it at all. I know for myself, I can feel good because I send a check to this organization. You know, let's say, Plain Compassion. They go to these towns and they help rebuild and they replace windows and whatever. So I send them a check. Well, if I do the math, you know, this check will do, you know, three windows and a door or whatever. And I have no idea what those numbers are. But I feel good because I've done something. And again, my hands didn't get dirty. It didn't mess with my schedule. But I'm helping. Now, they need those funds, and that's a good thing to be doing. But what about the guy next door that needs help? What about the people we meet? Just, I guess what this has done for me and what I want it to do for you is to maybe up our level of intention. I intend to do what I can to help those around me. I intend to be watching for those that are hurting. James 2:12-13 says, "So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment." When Jesus read the verses in the temple, the first time that he spoke in a teaching way, other than when he was 12 years old, I guess, but it says, they brought him the scroll and he read from, well, I'm going to read from Luke, but he read from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." So I'm asking you to look around. Who is hurting? Who are you holding captive? What's your relationship like in your family, your extended family, your co-workers, whoever it is? Are you looking for opportunities to alleviate suffering, to be merciful, to show compassion? So I'd just like to encourage you, children, siblings, you can do much to show compassion to your siblings. I just thought of something funny that happened in our house yesterday, and I'll have compassion and not share it. We can do much. We can either be sand in the gears or we can be grease in the gears in our relationships. And I guess... being willing to inconvenience ourselves for the sake of others. We are busy. We have schedules. We have plans and we have hobbies and we have all of these things that matter. And I realize, you know, there's the book Boundaries, and, you know, you can get too much the other way maybe, where everyone else hijacks your life. But I don't think we're as much in danger of that as maybe we feel sometimes. You know. Lord bless you. Thank you for paying attention, for listening. If you stand, we'll have prayer. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you have had not only mercy in not giving us what we deserve, which is death and hell, but you've also had mercy in that you've raised us up. You've done something about our condition. You've set us in heavenly places. You've given us salvation. You've given us your love, your Spirit, your Word, each other. We are so blessed. And it's because of you and your mercy. I pray for each one. I pray, Lord, that if and as you've spoken to us this morning, that you would give us the wherewithal to carry out the opportunities that you give us. Help us to be intentional, to live for you, to lift your name. Be glorified. We thank you. Pray your blessing on each one. Go with us this week. Help us always to go with you. Go before us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.